a divine calling this morning on your life. That's why you are here. You have a divine uitnodiging. What is invitation? This is the word that I was looking for. You have a divine invitation this morning. You know, it's not Father's Day today, but I want to talk to the fathers and to the young men in the house this morning. But I also want you ladies and the young girls to listen. Listen very, very, very attentively to the word that God has put on my heart. It will only be Father's Day next week, so we can have two Father's Days in a row, man. And praise God for that. But before I start, I want to call up somebody that I really respect. Somebody that I've listened to a testimony, and the theme of my message this morning is, what is a house without a father? And you know, when we grew up, my sister is here, and she can testify with it. There was two big portraits in our living room. One that said, what is a house without a father? And the other one, what is a house without a mother? And so I want to call up my sister, my friend, Bianca. She will come and tell you. She will come and give a short testimony about her life. How that it was. Thank you. Leanne. How that she experienced it and how it was for her to grow up in a house without a father. Bianca.
Good morning, church. Now, on Wednesday evening, we had our cell meeting, and then the question was raised, what role does your father play in your life? And I think we were just about five people, and so immediately when the question was raised, I mean, I didn't have to think very much, because for me, I never grew up with a dad. And so I immediately said to my cell group members, you know, I would not know what that feels like. I would not know what it means to grow up with a father, because all my life, my father was never present. I was raised by a mother who played the role of both my mother and my father until just after I graduated. For as long as I can remember, my mother was really the core person in my life. When I was 10 years old, in fact, just a couple of days before I turned 11, I remember being in my friend's house, and then somebody walked through the door. A man that I thought, wow, he's really good looking, he's a good looking father. And he proceeded, I think he went into the lounge, and then he came back with my mother. And my mother said to me, Bianca, this is your father. Now, there was no excitement. I didn't know how to react. And I just said, hi. I can't remember much about that night, honestly. However, I do remember a couple of days after that, he came to where I was. I was staying with my aunt at the time just for the holiday. It was my 11th birthday. And I remember him giving my mom $50. And he spent the day with us. After that, he left because apparently he moved to the States when I was about 5 years old. I never saw him before then. Like I said, I just met him before my 11th birthday. So he left again. He went back to the States. And I remember every now and then when I would want something nice, whether it was just clothes or food, I would ask my $50 for my mother all the time. Like, my father left $50. Can you please go and buy me this? And can you please go and buy me that? But my mother would always, whatever her intentions were really, but I think that was when it became evident to me that, you know, your father doesn't do this, he hasn't done that, so don't ask me for anything. Didn't think too much of that at the time. And then when I was 13, in grade 7, my father came back from the States. He picked me up for a weekend, and that weekend was a very special weekend to me, because for the first time in my life, I got to spend a weekend with my dad. My father is Herero speaking, but his family is very much English, so they just speak English all the time. Now, I was brought up by a teacher, and my mother made sure that we all went to, St. Andrew's Primary School in Kommersdal. So I had to spend this weekend with all these children that went to St. George's and St. Paul's, and I could not even get two words of English out of my mouth. But it was a very, very nice weekend because the environment, it was in Eros Park, and the environment was so different from the environment that I was growing up in. We went to the Ventuk show, they bought me a new outfit, we got home, the next morning, it was just food that I had never seen in my life. It was just, now, cornflakes and things might seem simple to other people, everyday, you know, food. But that day I saw cornflakes and the little ones were given cornflakes and we had bread and tea. And I said to myself, tonight when everybody's asleep, I'll go and raid that kitchen because I've got to taste all these things that I just see with my eyes. And so that was an experience for me in the sense that I was introduced to a whole new different life where I could see that if you just work a little bit harder, you could have a better life. So that is the one thing that I got from my father's family. I was taken home that Sunday, and I remember the next Friday, sitting outside under the tree at my mom's house, waiting anxiously for my dad. Now, my dad never said he would come and pick me up, but I just waited. I waited. It became 5 o'clock. Every time when I would hear a car, I would run. I would run, and I would run until the end of the road and just check, is my father coming? Is my father not coming? And that it went on for so long. My mother could never understand. And she asked me, but Bianca, what is going on? Did your father promise to you that he will come and pick you up? And I said, no, but I want to go and live with my dad. And my mother said, but I did not raise you to leave me alone and to go live with your dad. And I said, but I will come and visit you. I just wanted to be with my father so badly. And then I went to high school, grade 8, Deborah. Don't know how many of you know that place. But then I went there. Now, before I went there, I was looking for my mom. I can't remember. Maybe I've blocked certain things out. Can't exactly remember, but what I do remember is I had to go to school in 2 weeks' time. And this was when the problem started, because my mother said to me, your father is back now. He is back, he must take responsibility, you know. He must take care financially, he must just take care of all of your needs. And so I can't remember where my mother was then. And I asked myself, okay, in 2 weeks' time I have to go to high school, I don't have uniform, I don't have this, I don't have that. I'm even going to boarding school. And so I could remember the way to this house in Eros Park. I got there and I'm very bubbly, always been bubbly. So I started talking to my aunt and I explained to her that school is going to start. I don't have this, I don't have that. She couldn't trace my dad. So she went and she bought me what I needed for grade 8. Now I remember this as yesterday because when I went into boarding school, you know, a big Foschini plastic bag with whatever I needed, my school uniform, 2 or 3 outfits, cosmetics and whatnot. And so I went to school. And at that point, it became real to me that, you know, if nobody's going to help me, what exactly is going to happen to me? So in grade 8, I sat down and I wrote my father a very, very angry letter. You know, something to the effect of, you are my father. If you don't take care of me, who will take care of me? And I asked him all sorts of questions. And I remember just a week or so after that, my father came. I can't even remember how the letter was delivered to him, but it was hand-delivered. And so he came to me, and he felt guilty. Now, I had developed, I think, anger over the years. And so it was very easy for me just to say, you know, I was very frank about the way that I would say things. And he would ask me questions, and I would answer him. I was very, very angry when I answered him. And so he took me to his house for the weekend. And so I think for them, a way of, you know, overcoming all of this, they would buy me clothes and clothes all the time. I became a little fashion doll instantly at the high school. Then when I had to go to grade 10, they transferred me to Centaurus High School. Now, my mother was very unhappy with that move because she said, you know, I can hardly afford Deborah. How am I going to afford Centaurus? And my father promised my mother that he would take care of me financially. That lasted, however, for about 3 months, because after that, my father and I, we continually had disagreements. And I then decided, apparently at age 15, to cut all my losses. Now, that became very difficult because my mother couldn't pay and I ran away from my dad. So, and I was in boarding at Centaurus as well. I remember at one point then being chased out of the hostel because my school fees was in arrears, boarding fees was in arrears, and then somebody came to my rescue. I'm born and raised Catholic, so the nuns and the priests, you know, they put resources together, they would buy my school uniform, they would pay for me. Every weekend I would go to the, I don't know what you call it, but I would go to the and visit the priest every weekend, basically. When others would go and visit the parents, this is where I would go. At that point, I think again in grade 12, somehow our paths met, my dad and I. But he was always very reluctant to just help me financially. And one day he actually said to me, I'm not going to invest in you financially because I know that I won't reap the benefits. I didn't know what he meant. He also told me, you know, Bianca, don't think I work for you. I don't work for you. And I was very confused. But right then I said to myself, you know what, I don't know how, because I know that even when I finish school, my mother would never be able to pay for university. I knew that. But I said to myself, I don't know how. And at the time, I said very angrily, if this man is not going to help me, I'm going to show him, because I think he had he just has a master's degree. I said to him, I'm going to show him, I'm going to get the same master's degree that he has. And I finished school in 94. 95, I was just idling around, you know, doing odd jobs. 96, I heard from a friend of mine that if you go to Tucson, you can go and repeat grade 12, and they give you a scholarship, and you take it from there. So I never had plans to study agriculture, but it was a scholarship, you know, that things had to do with agriculture. So I just went and I studied, and then I started hearing about cows and all sorts of things. Okay, then I went to UNAM. Eventually, in my second year, I ended up at Noidam. I decided to take then animal science as an option. Then after that, I started working in Ovamboland, Orongo Agricultural College, as a lecturer. And then I had a strange phone call one day. It was my father's wife. They were very interested in my life all of a sudden. They heard that I'm a lecturer up north, and they want to see how they can become a part of my life. Of course, I didn't want anything to do with them. My stepmother went ahead, and she was now asking me how much I earn and all sorts of things. But I had no relationship with them at the time. Then in 2002, my mother passed away. And I did not even inform them that she passed away. I can't remember who informed them. Well, they came to the house, and I remember the day that we buried my mom in church. I felt such an emptiness. I suppose that is normal for every child. And I said to myself that day, not to myself, but I said to everybody who was in church, you know, today, not today, a couple of days ago when my mom died, and the person that I'm going to bury today I've lost a mother and a father. And I meant that in every sense of the word, because my mother was such a strong character. She would do the plumbing in the house. She would fix the cupboards. She would be in the garden. You know, she would be all over the place. And she would run around raising myself and my four brothers. But after that, that was when I met my husband. And my husband encouraged me so much to build a relationship with my dad. And I remember on my mom's deathbed, she encouraged me to build a relationship with my dad. But I just had enough. I had enough of this man who never wanted to be a part of my life anyway. But then when I fell pregnant with my daughter, the one person that was there for me, it was my dad. You know, he would drive all the way up to Ogongo. He would transport me. He would do this. He would do that. And during my pregnancy, that was the time that I really had a lot of questions for my dad. I wanted answers. I needed to heal. Because the older I became, the more I thought about my past. And I just wanted answers. I could not understand how somebody would father a child and then not care from the day that the child is born until adulthood, etc. And I kept on asking questions. And it was from that point on that I really started feeling the pain of growing up without a dad, because I reflected on so many things in my life that had happened. I realized then that I was such a needy person, you know. I needed so much love, and I always wanted love, because now my husband had to play the role of both a father and a husband. I just wanted love and reassurance all the time. Some of my close friends would never understood why out of the blue I became so needy. And I was very angry. I asked my father questions all the time. All the time until I was about 32 years old. I asked questions. Then just before, now I can't remember whether it's before my son was born or when I fell pregnant, something came over me. Something came over me that until this day, I don't know how it happened, when exactly it happened, but just this strong feeling came over me and it said, Bianca, forgive your father and move on. Because I would ask him questions, he never had answers. Then, like I said, before I fell pregnant with my boy, or after he was born, round about that time, It came over me that I must forgive. And when I say forgive, I really mean I don't have angry feelings towards my father anymore. I don't have questions. You know what he could answer, he answered. What he couldn't answer, he didn't answer. And I also realized at that point that even as my father was growing up, he also had a lot of childhood issues, unresolved issues. And I realized, well, he didn't deal with his issues. Now, how will he deal with this Bianca issue as well? You know? And somewhere, somehow, like I said, I just woke up one day, the anger was gone. The pain was gone. The tears were gone. The complaints were gone. Because mind you, I could complain every now and then to my husband, to my father's brother. I would always find someone to complain to all the time. But I woke up that morning and I completely forgave my dad. And it was not until Wednesday when we spoke that David said to me, you know, that is just grace. Because it is not something that you can do on your own. You know, if you have a lot of problems, unresolved issues, somebody needs to answer, you know, your questions. And those questions cannot be answered. You cannot heal. But what happened for me was just the grace of God. Because today, I mean, we don't have the closest relationship, but we have a relationship. I would go to Swakop, I would visit my dad. He will come, you know, and visit me. If I need somebody to talk to, I will call him. He will give me advice. Just last week, Thursday, he gave me advice because I was so depressed about studies and work and everything at the same time. And I'm just grateful that, you know, I managed to get to a place where I was able to forgive my father. And I also just wish for him to also get to a place where he can deal with his childhood issues. And I'm not the only child who didn't grow up with my dad. I also have a brother. So we are four kids. My father has four kids. Two of them grew up with him. Two of us did not grow up with him. And the other one right now is my younger brother. He is struggling a lot because he still has issues. He constantly asks my father for answers that my father can't give. And so I really just also pray for him that he gets to a place that day where he can just forgive his father and move on and be there for his family. Thank you.
Thank you, Bianca. Oh, that is honestly a great testimony, and it's truly, it's only by the grace of God. Let us just pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are here this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for an open door. Thank you, God, for an opportunity this morning to preach your word. Thank you, God, that we know that your Holy Spirit is here. Your Holy Spirit is in this place. Your Holy Spirit is in our life. Father, I pray now that you will help us just to sit back and relax, Holy Spirit. Open our hearts, open our ears, that the word that will come out, Lord God, that we will receive it with an open mind. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you are the after preacher of your word. And Father God, I pray that you will hide me behind your cross. And Father God, that you will speak in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read you it's a very, very short psalm, Psalm 128. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for this shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace upon Israel. And just a few verses of 127. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. You know, praying and thinking about this message. I grew up in a house where we have a loving father, a father that was real, a father that was there every day. So, listening even on Wednesday night to Bianca's testimony, it's clearly that God demonstrates for us how important the role of the Father is in the house. Fathers are not only needed for the physical conception of a child, they are also needed for the physical act of spiritual raising a child. Having said that, let me say a word to you as single parents. I know that there's maybe a few of you here that is single parents that maybe have to raise your children alone. Please don't be in despair that your children is beyond hope because their father is gone. That is not the truth. God is so gracious. The same grace that He bestowed on Bianca, the same grace He can bestow on your children. Psalm 27 verse 10 says it so clearly. Though my father and my mother had forsaken me, the Lord will take care of me. Maybe there's some of you sitting here this morning that don't have a father, that is angry towards your father or even your mother. Just know that the Lord will take care of you. Nevertheless, the normal pattern is for children to be raised by both parents, the father and the mother. And those single parents here today, I know that you can testify how difficult it is for you to raise your children without a father or even without a mother. I and the church, we want to salute you this morning if you stand by the promise to look after your children, not giving away your children. And we praise God for that. As we all know, growing up in a single household means that children are more likely to live at a poverty line or it go really, really bad with them. While one party, especially sometimes the mother, has to struggle to raise these children. This is very difficult for everyone. Growing up fatherless brings a set of its own difficulties to that household, especially for boys. There is statistics, you know what, when I was going through, I looked up certain statistics, what is going on in a single parent household. And you can believe me that they say that about 90%, especially boys, that live in a single parent household, who a father is not there to look after them, 90% of that boys will end up as drug users, they will be unsuccessful, they will end up in prison. But I will want to tell you today, please don't believe it, because it's not true. You can make the change of that statistics. You can say that even though they said 90% will do it, I will be part of that 10%. And then we can change it. We can change it like 90% of them will not end up the same way that the statistic shows. Because as we have heard from Bianca, growing up fatherless didn't push her into a way, a destructive, that she will doing destructive activities. Instead, it moved her to become a successful and educated person, a loving mother and a father. And if she can do it, you can do it too. If you can say, if that lady is standing up there and she is giving a testimony like that, I can do it too. No matter where my father is, no matter where my mother is, I will do it. Now the fathers here today, especially you young men, there's a few things that I want to tell you. I don't know, my throat is so dry. I didn't preach more often. I must preach more often, so I'm not so nervous. Having a child don't make you a dad. What is the difference, you may ask? Well, a father, in the proper terms, is a male or a man who produces a child. But in the eyes of a child, in the eyes of a child, a father is somebody who takes care of him. It's a name that will be earned. It's a name that a father is somebody who is supportive of their child, both financially and mentally. Because in our culture today, we have cultures today that men are just going out and they want to see how many children they can have. And this is wrong, especially you young boys this morning. This is something that need to be stopped. Because you can't be a dad. You can't say, I am a father of children and I'm not there for them. You don't become a dad without working hard for it. Because being there for your kids need certain things. A man need to be self-sufficient. You know, there's a lot of men, especially looking at it in Canada where my family and I was, the First Nation people that are so dependent on the country, Canada, to support them. They're not working because they are not self-sufficient. These days, we need to be self-sufficient by doing things like gaining an education. The same way that Bianca was doing. She didn't know how she will do it, but she had put a focus on it. I will be an educated person. Be open-minded, because the more things you will experience, the more subjects you will be knowledgeable about, the more situations that you will be handled one day. Seek valuable skills that will make you an asset to the employers and to the community where you live in. Do not let fear stop you. Do not let fear, because I know that sometimes we will have fear in us. We will say, but how will I do it? Do not let fear stop you. Fear is probably the most biggest obstacle in our life today to become what we want to become one day. It keeps us from success. If we have fear in our hearts, it will keep us from success. It will keep us from getting what we need. And it will keep us dependent on other people. Becoming a man doesn't mean you are with age. Though the law considers all male above 18 as men, a boy becomes a true man through his experiences and learning when he learns from his experiences. Sometimes it can take years past the age of 18 to happen. I know a lot of men. I know a lot of people that is 40, 30 years old that is not man yet. Through experiences, a boy becomes a man by taking ownership of his life. Being successful and his failure, even if you fail sometimes. Letting go of stubbornness and accepting good values and lessons and advice. Knowing how to handle challenging situations. This is a boy that become a man. Learning more about himself. Mental strength is often more necessarily than physical strength. You know, I'm also going to the gym. And sometimes I see guys in their gym that is muscles, you know. And then I thought, even though that he has so much muscles, yeah, like Richard, I wonder where's his heart, you know. Is he a real man? I think you are a real man, Richard. If you want to become a man of great courage and accomplishment, it's not going to happen when you go into the gym and hitting the gym and lifting up weights. A courageous man stands up for the weak, and the weak is your children. A courageous man stands up for what he believes in. A courageous man faces his fears, his failures and criticism. He's not afraid of responsibility. And seeing things, a courageous man is a man that sees things through to the end. Your father doesn't need to be your father figure. Maybe you will never have the opportunity, like Bianca, to see your father or to have your father around you. If your father is maybe in prison or he left you, or you didn't even. Or he didn't have any success in life, you don't have to look up to him for leadership. Look for a father figure in someone else. Every man needs a father figure, even far into adulthood. I was 32 years old, 21 years ago, when my dad passed away. And I was still looking for somebody that can be there for me. I have needed my father still, on an age of 32 years, I've needed my father still so much. You don't need to know a person personally to be an example to you. You know what? I know of many, many people that, like Billy Graham, is such an example of people that try to live up to the things that Billy Graham has said. I'm one of them. Billy Graham is maybe one of the people that I don't know personally. I met him, not even him, I met his son a few years ago. But he is the example that I want to see, that I want to follow one day. In addition, you can study the life of great men so that you can follow up into the footsteps of great men. What is a man and what isn't a man? A man what a man isn't. A man isn't somebody who runs away from his responsibilities. A man isn't a person who makes excuses for his inabilities or his mistakes. A man isn't a person who strikes a woman. And a man isn't a selfish person. A man isn't a man by his age. A man is a boy who grows into a man through his experiences. A man is someone who stands up for something he believes in, even when he's fearful. A man is a person who creates a new path. And you know, also me growing up, I've seen my dad never used any alcohol, but I have a lot of uncles and cousins and even my older brother. And I have decided, by seeing their example, I said, I will never, ever use alcohol. And I have created a new path for me and my children by not using any alcohol. A man is an open-minded person. A dad when he earns the name, I'm a dad. Fathers and mothers, fathers and men here today, why is the father's role so important in the life of your children, in the life of the church, in the life of this country? Because the father is the spiritual representative of God in the home. When Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to say, Our Father who art in heaven. And when I pray, and most of the time when I said, Our Father, the first person that I naturally precept is my earthly father. Because he had set that example for me. I know what it means to have a father. So the husband is to represent the leadership of God in the home. The wife is to represent the bride of Christ, the church. The Bible said, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The reason that we as men must live godly lives is to model a life before our family. A life of love, character, and care of God himself. Yet, what a tremendous contrast it is that some men leave the spirituality over to their husband, to their wives. I want to tell you, men and young men here today, to be the spiritual leader in your home, we as the men need to be the spiritual example of the people, our wives and our children in our homes. The spirituality of our homes is primarily our responsibility as men in the house. You are to represent God in your home. God is called our Father and has given us the earthly role as a father. And we need to have the same characteristics as God. There's a few that I wanted to show out here. God is faithful. As men, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to our wives and to our children. God is always consistent, and we need to have that consistency too, as men in the house. God is a loving God, and we must love our wives and our children. God is always kind. We need to be kind towards our wives and our children. We must be present because God is present in our life all the time. And God is always there. We as men and fathers are the pattern of our family that represent faithfulness of the Almighty God. I want to submit to you that one of the problems of this world is faithless fathers. Because we as fathers don't have the faith anymore. Young men don't have the faith anymore. We men and fathers and husbands need to be faithful again. We need to stand by our promises. We must never let go of what, no matter what, we must not let go of our promises. When marriage isn't fun, we need to stay with it. Not only the men, the ladies too. When parenting is over our head, we must stay with it. When work is crushing down and it let us down, let us not come back from work to our homes with that attitude. We must be a man. We must be faithful to what God has called us to be. The Bible said, if you want to be a faithful father and have a faithful walk with God, then keep on keeping on. Be faithful to your promises, no matter what. Because our children are looking to us as dads for consistency and faithfulness. So that's the faithful walk of a father. The Bible gives this order. The head of every man is Jesus Christ. So first of all, we as fathers must be sure that Jesus Christ, God, is the head of our lives. And that we are submissive to our Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous responsibility God has given us as fathers. Because the Bible said that we must be the head of our homes. And if we are not the head of our homes this morning, it's time that we need to take it back. I've talked to a few people already, and I know of one lady that said, I don't mind to be the head as long as I will be the neck, because then I can steer the head wherever I want to. We need to take our place back. Man, we need to take our place back in the house. While we are the head of our homes, the wives is the glory of our home. And our children like olive plants around the table. What a picture this is that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us. Man, does your wife and your children look up to you and see a husband and a father who loves God with all his heart and who put God first in his life? Young unmarried man, are you pledging here today that your wife and your children will look up to you one day and see a God-fearing husband and a God-fearing father? Verse 6 of Psalm 120 said, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, thou shalt see your children's children, and peace upon Israel. This is a promise that God is making to us as men, if we will take back our place in the house. The blessings extend from the family unit to the nation. As we look to our country and to the world today, we can understand why God said this in His Word. As the fathers goes, so goes the nation. So goes the home, and so goes the nation. If we want to turn back our nation back to God, we as fathers need to turn back to our homes. And we need to turn back to the place where God wants us to be. In closing, there's a lot of talk about family values, but it's impossible to have a real happy family without God. Because it is God who created the institution of marriage. He is the only one who knows how that it works. It is only when a man and a woman walk under the blessings of God that they can have a happy family. Many said, you know, I have a happy family. I don't basically need God. But you can't have a happy family if you don't have God in your life. If you have God in your life, then you have something positive that you can contribute to your family. Men, young boys, If you have God in your life, you have something positive that you can contribute to your families. Psalm 119 verse 9 said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to his word. In other words, in a day of sexual promiscuity, self-centered values, and materialism, pornography, and a culture that promotes philosophies that are anti-God. The question is, how can a young man or a young woman live holy before God, both morally and spiritually? The answer to this question is hiding the Word of God in your heart. If you don't know the Word of God, it's now time to start learning the Word of God so that you can keep the Word of God in your heart. With other words, young man and young woman, the preventative measure against sin is to hide God's Word in your life and in your heart. Before I want to make an altar call for anyone here this morning who have the pain of growing up without a father, who need forgiveness for his or her father, I just want us to be quiet for a while and just reading through Psalm 23 and just take it in. Just take the words of Psalm 23 into your heart. If it's up there, then just be quiet for a little while and just look at this word, because looking at Psalm 23 once again over these days, I really have come to know this is the psalm that we can hold on to. This is the psalm that can take you through your young life and make you a successful person one day. The Lord is my shepherd. He lets me lie down in... It's maybe another version that I don't know. I know Psalm 23 out of my head, so I wanted to... The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. He let me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. And this is... That can happen to you too. He can renew your life. He leads me along the path of His name, for His name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valleys, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Even if you are alone and you go through all these difficult things, just know that He will always be with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. And if you will take up this psalm, and you make the psalm a personal prayer every day, young people, you who don't have fathers, or you who don't have family that can support you, just keep it. Keep it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. This is a way how do you will prevent going into the wrong direction. Let us just pray. Father, we are your people. And we are in so much need of you this morning. Father, you know each one of us here. You know, maybe we're sitting here with hatred in our hearts towards our fathers or even mothers. I pray this morning, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Father, that we will not go through these dark times anymore. That we will hold on to Psalm 23. That it said, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Father, I pray that you will prepare for each one here at table this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for each one that is here. As I have prayed, Lord, will you be the after preacher of your word? In Jesus' name. If there's anyone here that know that you don't have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with your Father. And you need prayer. We are here for you. We are here to pray with you. Please come forward. Come and stand here and we will pray for you. Especially young men and young girls. If there's any struggles in your life, come forward and we will pray with you. The rest of you, thank you for being here. You can go and have coffee, tea, cool drink at the back. I want to ask Reinhold and Aaron, everyone, they can come up so we can pray.
Hello everyone, just before we leave, I once had a friend and his sister was also somebody that became pregnant without a husband. And I just felt a burden in my heart to pray for her and for a boy. And it was something that God just showed me, especially the verse that David shared with us from Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver filled of them. And it was something that I think I heard in a poem that has a family, a mother and a father is like an arrow and God is the warrior and their children are like arrows. And I just said to God, but God, this family is not whole. How can you shoot an arrow with only one or half a bow? And I just saw in my mind's eye that God took this half a bow that he could not use and he basically laid it down. Then he took this amazing bow with light shining from it and he took this arrow and said, I will shoot it for my bow. This is my bow that I will use if I cannot use this bow, because families is like a platform. Families is supposed to build you up. If they are founded in God, it's something that no man on this earth can take from that family, because it's something that you build into your children. You build your children up. You give them a platform from which Pastor Fred always gives that amazing example. Your roof must be your children's floor from where they start in life. And so many people in this life does not have that platform. They basically start nowhere and they have to build on something that they don't know how to build this. And God's word is this amazing privilege of having that. It's in Psalm 27. It's so amazing how what David also said, even if your mother and your father forsakes you, God is there and he gives you the path to righteousness, how to get there. So I think that invitation is for all of us. If you feel in your heart you do not have this platform. You've never seen this platform. You don't know how to get in, how to get on with your life. Where am I supposed to go? Where do I take hold of my life? And if that's something specific for you, we would just like to really pray for you as well. Amen. Well, thank you very much for you being here today. We hope you have a really blessed week ahead of you. Please get some coffee and enjoy the sunshine outside, and we'd like to meet you and fellowship with you afterwards. Amen.